we did like the not quite dress rehearsal, but super last rehearsal last night, and it was a little clunky, but tonight was much better, much smoother. We had a small spattering of an audience, and it was...
I know what you mean. Good. Oh. Well, I'm glad that went well. There's nothing more terrifying, I find, than when those few minutes before you're due to go on, you think, I could be sat at home in front of the TV now doing something far less stressful.
Yeah.
And relaxing. Why do I put myself through this every single time? And yet, of course, you get a thrill out of it. That's the reason why you do it.
Yeah. I'm Ross. I'm joined by my co-host, Ian, as always, and together, me having just leapt off of a stage physically, we are attempting to drink Nova Scotia dry. We're a little later, we're one full hour later tonight, but that is because I am in a show for a change. I think in the time that we've done this, you've been in two shows. Was I in another one? Now I have to look that up. I don't remember if I've been in another show as well, but easiest way is that you are the person who is usually not available due to being in a show, and it's not me that's the case, but tonight I was in a show, but I'm done, and I'm home, and it's a very fast show. I don't know that I've ever been in a show that has no intermission before.
No, I've been in some one-act plays, obviously, when you don't need to, but I can't recall... Off the top of my head, I can't recall any shows that I've been in where at least there isn't just one interval. Yeah, I'm racking my brains, but over the years, I don't think I've ever been in one. That's astonishing, and it's going to leave people's bottoms slightly numb. But it's not, because it's the Whittle, isn't it? Is it the Whittle?
It is, so you know, it's nice comfy chairs.
Yeah. Yeah, they are comfortable, yes. If it were Convocation Hall... Well, shifting uneasily in your seats, yep, there. But no, that's a nice venue. Well,
your legs would be numb by the end of it. And not to put you on the spot, are you coming to see my show?
We'll speak afterwards.
It doesn't matter. Like to me, it's kind of fun. It's kind of neat because you want to. I am a little curious about this one, but luckily my good friend Jamie, who I've been trying to get on this show for years, he and I have talked about craft beer longer than we've been friends, and he is doing the tech for it. But Jamie is also he is my sensei, my acting sensei. I have followed him basically since I met him at school, and he was taking a theater degree and I was not. So he has kind of been my person that I've always gone to, because I've learned so much from him. So he is teching the show, and his opinion is the most important one to me. Like, if my friends come see it, that's great. I really appreciate the support and whatnot. But I want to go up to Jamie after. How was that? Did I do okay? Did I do all this stuff? I'm definitely very curious about his opinion. Regardless, theater talk. Yep. So, here on our theater talk podcast, shall we talk a little bit more about upstaging and downstaging and perhaps costume changes or whatnot? Or should we shift gears and the fact that we are a beer podcast, talk about the fact that we've got some lagers? Three lagers. Little lagers, because lagers tend to seemingly come in cases, the 355 milliliter cans in a case. In order to get these the Good Robot one, I had to buy a case of it. I had to buy a case of the Jake's lager. This is actually the last can for my case that I bought in order to do the Century Challenge at the beginning of the year. So this is what I drank for that.
That's what you drank that one. And you did pass me this one. As recently as that we got... A case is... Remind me. A case is 12, isn't it?
12. That is correct.
And you got through sort of 8 or 9 of them on Century Night.
Roughly is that right? 8, yes.
Okay, then. Right, okay. I tried this before, Ross. Did I?
I don't know that you've tried this one. No. And I have only tasted it the night of. And so maybe I described it to you that night, because there's nothing on the can. It's all on the case, because that's what you get. So you get a full case of 12. But it does say on ninelocksbrewing.ca. So from Ninelocks Brewing, here is Jake's Easy Lager, 5% ABV, in a lovely bright blue, the Ninelocks color can. And it does describe, inspired by Nova Scotia's favorite classic lagers, Jake's Easy Lager has been handcrafted with Atlantic Canada in mind, using premium ingredients, traditional techniques, and the perfect amount of time. That's T-I-M-E, not the spice. Jake's... Yeah. Ew. Jake's Easy... Jake's Easy Lager is bright, light, and priced just right. Why not introduce yourself to Jake's? An acquaintance definitely worth having.
So we are. They've certainly tempted us by the, I like the alliteration and the poetry involved with that. That was very cool. It's an it describes itself as an easy lager. Are they saying this is a sessionable lager? It's 5%. It's not massively alcoholic, but well, I guess we'll find out.
I will certainly enthusiastically say I enjoyed my session with 8 of them in 1 hour and a half amount of time. So
yeah. That truly is a session. Honestly. Now, before we start, remind me, is Tola Gold class as a lager?
Yes, it is.
Right. Well, that's the easiest lager I think I've tried in Nova Scotia so mm-hmm. far. That is the sessionable bar. It's pitched right there. So if this comes even close to that level of drinkability, then this could be a very fun evening.
I didn't have a Tola Gold to compare with that night, but I did feel that this was comparable. And I think when someone gave me a Tola Gold for the first time, I thought, oh, here we go, it's going to be a lager. And then finally, it's a lager, but with no bitter aftertaste. I thought, oh, what's happening? It's game-changing. And it was in its own little house with the really tasty lager. We've tried some other lagers, and you think, yeah, there's that back again. But then, like we are constantly talking with Steve Crane about, the evolution of Nova Scotia craft beers and craft beers in general... it is getting better. All of it is getting better. So when one makes a really tasty beer, then everyone makes a really tasty. And so if there are 5 or 6 really, really crisp, much better than Keith's lagers, nearly, you know, at the scale of or comparable to Tola Gold, I'm in. I'm so excited about that. There's zero head, but look at the fizz. The fizz continues to fizz in my glass here. No, sorry.
Yes, this is a lager, we've established, which means I've not long hauled it out of the fridge. These are cold.
Okay.
And, and I know that I haven't always drunk lagers cold either, but I'm kind of coming around to the idea that you shouldn't. There are certain beers that you need to serve a little colder. They taste a bit crisper and more refreshing if they are not 15 degrees sitting outside in the sunshine. I get that. Lagers are one of them. Do you detect a note of, I love this term that you'd coin quite a lot, tiny little breadiness?
Yes.
Upon top pan.
I am definitely getting some breadiness in there, that is for sure.
Yes.
Oh, dear.
The head is dissipated. I didn't expect to get mass from that. It's slightly hazy, Ross. It's not the glass that's looking
like. I have noticed that as well. It is just a little bit hazy, but I wonder if that could be the breadiness style of it.
It's not filtered. Usually are these lagers are normally quite clear, aren't they? This doesn't say it's not unfiltered. Sorry, this doesn't say it's unfiltered. But so there's no sediment, but it is slightly cloudier than I expect lagers to be. Life and beer are very similar. Chill for best results. I've done that, Ninelocks. I'm not failing. I'm keeping my end up.
Well, there. Ready?
Smells like a lager. But a bready one. I'm looking forward to this. Cheers.
Cheers. Oh. Though I was drinking it just 1 ounce, 1.5 ounces at a time before.
It's quite dry. It's got a dryness at the back end, which might have helped you. I'm not sure with your 100-shot challenge. You did considerably better than I did this time round, of course. I was drinking my Tola Gold. And toward the end, I was feeling decidedly queasy. But you were plowing through these, Jakes, because I was beginning to think, hang on a minute, how are you maintaining your sociability I know you're good at, you're very good at that. But after drinking all this 5% lager and you're still ploughing through it with no ill effects whatsoever, this is quite a dry. My teeth are dry.
Yes, so are mine. It's not sticking around, but the flavor's there. There was something along the roof of the mouth that reminded me that this was I don't know, like a lager flavor. I'm not quite so professional that I know what that lager flavor is, but I will be very snooty and say that I think I could detect that this was a lager and not something else if someone gave it to me. I feel like that's possible.
Me too. On this occasion, I'm pretty sure I could do that. Excuse me. Even though I find lagers and pilsners and kolsches, if you blindfolded me and placed three in front, and they were quite similar, I find them all quite similar. But this one, I'd definitely say that's a lager. It helps that it says lager on the front of the can, so I'm cheating a little bit. But I'm pretty sure I could detect that this is a lager. After all these years of drinking beer, I finally think I know what a lager is. Tastes like
there's still a fizz or two in there, but it doesn't taste fizzy. It doesn't pop. The carbonation doesn't pop off the tongue anywhere.
No, it's not overly primed. I'm not finding it massively burpy, which I sometimes do with
I worried about that as well, which made me. Yeah. Pause and think that, the next time we try our Century Challenge, I think I'm finally going to go broke and try for the blonde ales and see if the lack of carbonation helps. Despite the fact that I know which one I have success with, but I wonder if a 5% blonde ale or a cream ale maybe, because it's got less of a carbonation personality to it. Yeah. It's, I am looking up the notes on... American style lager on the Canadian Brewing Awards. The body. Well, that's what I'm going by. Just kind of what I'm supposedly judging it for. Body is low, but it says corn, rice, other grain or sugar adjuncts are used. American lagers are very clean and crisp and aggressively carbonated. So I feel like fizz is the big part of its personality.
Well, if this is an American style lager. It doesn't have that. I tell you what, it's better. It's a craft lager. It's better than the shitty mass-produced stuff that people drink by the caseload in the UK. Young 18-year-old boys, yep. Lager boys, they drink that. I go straight to the big sellers, the Carling Black Labels, the Fosters, the whatever, the Australian kind of lagers.
People drink Fosters in the UK.
I get that. Oh, absolutely. Castlemaine 4X, these big selling lagers that people drink by the bucket. They're always on sale. If you go to most bars in the UK, those are on draft. Those, Carling is a huge seller. I don't like them. I think they are almost tasteless, but very gassy as well. Always freezing cold. This is better. There's no denying. It's a brew with a bit more care and a bit more thought towards the punter rather than just selling and marketing. I don't love it, Ross. I'll be honest with you. My old lager snobbery comes through that. I don't generally go much on lagers, and this one is not doing it for me. And using Tola Gold as my yardstick that you introduced me to,
yeah.
This is what that does. And Nine Locks, by the way, I don't think there's a bad brew I've tried from. This isn't bad at all, but this isn't exciting me very much.
It's a lager. It is their lager. It comes in the case. But the sad story is the Tola Gold from Burnside Brewing is a little bit better.
Oh, yeah.
This is drier. So if you're looking for less of that, we really like that golden, just that, it coats. The body on Toller Gold is just that little bit more, it's not heavy, it's just slightly more medium. This is definitely a medium light, little drier in flavor, not quite pumped. So again, sessionability, and I think maybe that's what happened, is caloric wise, this one might have slightly fewer calories than Toller Gold. And maybe that's what affects if you're. So for a century challenge, this is the one you want, because I think it's a little bit lighter in body, despite the fact that it's still a 5%.
If you're watching your weight, I think if you're doing a 100 shot challenge, you really aren't thinking of the calories. You just want something that you're going to keep down, and that's going to be smooth enough and sessionable enough to drink without it being cloying, gassy, yeah, bloaty. Is this bloaty? Well, typically lagers do leave me bloaty for that very reason. The carbon dioxide. I'm forever burping and thinking, oh, I can't drink another one of these. Mm. This isn't like that. It's more the body is more in keeping with the Toller Gold. It's drier. It's the flavor I'm talking about. I'm not as in love with the flavor as no. I am with the Toller Gold. And that's not to say I mustn't sit here and say everything is comparable to Burnside Brewing's Toller Gold. It's not fair.
We know what because we like. And yeah. I think saying this one is a very good lager, it's a well-made lager. It does not hit what we like in a beer, which is why I'm trying to emphasize that it is a dry, crisp, easy thing to drink. Because if you like a drier, crisper, a lighter on body beer, then there are people who would prefer this to the Toller Gold. They have to exist. I know they exist. Yeah. Everything's a 9, and then personality comes into play. That's what's going on. We could retire this week and never do this again, and just say everything's great. Find the one that you like.
Something we haven't done, and this is how we make all our lagers better, is by, I should have bought a lime, Ross. I should have bought a lime.
Don't start.
Hung a little slice of it over the edge of the glass, and immediately, it's perfect. That's what we've found.
I'm kind of surprised that we didn't do lagers for St. Paddy's Day, because usually that's what they dye green on for St. Paddy's, in Canada, that is. But we got all fancy and had pilsners, and they were all really freaking good, if I remember. Mm. I've left a flavor, a little taste. Uh-huh.
I think that is really important to do this evening. Sure. If it was ever important, I think this is it. On lagers, where they can just bleed into one another for me, I think this is really important to leave a little finger this time and go back to that. So I've got a dry offering there. I'm going to put aside. We've got another 5%, do we? Isn't that exciting? It's another 5% right alongside it.
Well, that's the big question. Okay, so here is the big question. Do we want to move to the Good Robot first? Even though it's a higher percentage than the Black Bear, but I just feel like the Black Bear is going to be different. So different that maybe doing that one third.
That's fair enough. Since you did propose the three, there are, to me, they are... they're all lagers. This one is selling itself as a black, that's dark lager. So therefore, it's going to be maltier. Spoiler alert, I think both of you, I've had these before. I've had more than two or three of these. So I know that they are an entirely different beast than a session lager.
The Good Robot?
Yes, I think that's a good idea.
When have you had lots of these? I know I bought a case of these. Did I give you more than one?
No, I bought a 6-pack because we tried. I can't. Did you give me this? No, I'll tell you what it was. I think I gave you one and you gave me one.
Oh, right.
Do you remember one of those things? We didn't realize we had one. In any case, that's not even a pun. I liked it so much, I bought the company. No, I liked it so much that I went and bought a 6-pack, and because they were on special, they were on knockdown price. I thought, well, I don't need an excuse to buy cheap, good beer. I'll buy a 6-pack. And both Rebecca and I really like it. But the Good Robot Lager, I've no idea. This is a newbie on me.
We didn't have this one. I was wondering if we had this when we talked to Josh from Good Robot. We had the light lager. This is the Good Robot Lager. This is just... boom, it's robot face, it's this. And so Good Robot out of, well, I'm going to say Halifax, I believe, is, or you know, specifically, I think they brew out of Lance now. Can I find their... Elmsdale, sorry. Elmsdale close to Lance. But up on the website it does say, "This one's a smasher. A good, honest, locally made lager. Our Good Robot Lager is similar to the big name lagers out there, but with a little more oomph." Maybe that's the 5.5. "It's made right here in Nova Scotia and sold in packs of 6 or 12 so you can share with your pals or not. We won't tell. Did you know that in a blind taste test, 98% of drinkers preferred Good Robot Lager over other domestic brands? Not to toot our own horn, but toot, toot. Robot Lager is perfect for any occasion, a casual drink with dinner, a crusher during a softball game, and anything in between. Good, cold, and local. It's a beer everyone can agree on." There is no description. Honest, locally made, okay, similar to big lagers, but more oomph. That is the only actual description of what's going on. I mean, at least Nine Locks tried to say crisp, you know, maybe a little bit of this, and this has got no description.
They say it's similar to big lagers with more oomph. Are they saying, are they suggesting that's like the big lagers as in mass-produced ones, but with a bit more bite to it? Is that what you're
thinking? I think they're suggesting Moosehead, Keith's, yeah, okay. Those ones.
The big boy, the big brewery lagers.
The big boy.
Right, okay.
Ooh.
Mm. Well then, have at it, Good Robot Lager.
No.
I am a sponge. Oh, look at the head on yours.
Can I say, the Jake's Landing did not produce the head on its beer. But the Good Robot, I'm seeing the carbonation in there. There's lots of bubles all up the side. But I have to, it's a 355 milliliter can, and I have to wait for the head to go away to keep pouring this damn thing. This is impressive.
It's clear. Isn't it quite startlingly different from the...
Yes, it is.
From the previous one.
Crystal clear, for sure.
Very, very clear. Oh, no, that's... I'll tell you what, I was thinking it had a slight reddiness, the colour red, but then I realised that I'm holding it up against a red background.
I was going to say, are you holding it in front of the Good Robot red can?
Right, okay. So it's not red at all. It's it's golden, yellowy, pea color. I guess we'll call it, which is what lagers are.
Pea, generally. Yeah, it's pea.
Anyway, it's pea.
It looks like what you pee out afterwards, for sure. Some beers translate one to one in that regard.
My pea has been a funny color of late, Ross.
Oh, good. We've decided to start talking about the color of pee.
Yeah, but
it's about time.
I knew that asparagus can give it funky odors, I understand. But only some people can detect it. Only some people. I can detect it when I've had asparagus. Look at the difference. But Rebecca has been giving me this B-complex vitamin pill recently. I didn't know this, but B... vitamins. I don't mean B as in I mean like vitamin B.
I am aware of which one vitamin B is, yes.
Well, there's lots of them, aren't there? But by all accounts, one of these B vitamins, the first time you have one and you pee, it's like, what on earth has happened? It's luminous yellow, a color which It's like those reflectors. Like if you're walking down the street at night and you want to be seen, this is the color that you pee out of. It's an extraordinary experience.
So
I'm getting used to it now.
It doesn't shock It's me. Extremely handy for when you're walking at night and there's no streetlights and you just have really quick draw pants on.
Yeah.
Here comes the car.
Yep.
Whee! And it's.
Yeah. I don't know how I got onto that or why it reminded me. In fact, she said. She said it's a B complex, and I made a pun, Ross. I made a pun.
Oh, no.
Get this. And there was a pause, and I just said, no one likes me in this hive. And she said, what? I said, that's a B complex. That was the best pun I've ever come up with.
Oh, because a complex for a building residence. Or a residence building.
Not exactly. Anyway, carry on.
Oh, I thought that's what you were going for. What else was the pun then? Anywho, good robot with no description to it whatsoever. I had a little tiny bit of a lick off the side of the glass, and I feel like this one might be a bit hoppier, a bit more of a... I mean, it is so basic lagers like the big boys, but more oomph. And I wonder if it's more than just the 0.5% of alcohol percentage, but we'll find out. Charles!
Yes. I won't add that to my sketch then, or my material when it comes to doing stand-up, because it didn't do much for you.
Absolutely. When you are a famous stand-up comic, I will be very disappointed if you're not talking about the luminosity of your pee.
Wow. What a difference.
Mm. Yes. Mm.
But what a difference. It tastes... What did it say? It said, like the big boys, but more oomph. That's good. I like that description. There is more flavor to this.
Yes.
It's weirdly, because it had more a significantly larger head, it's more carbonated to me. It's got more fizz.
Think so?
But I think so. For me, it did. It's making me burp a bit. There it goes.
Because mine has stopped fizzing, but the Nine Locks, even my tiny little finger of Nine Locks, is still fizzing. But the good robot just has a couple of bubbles around the edge.
Okay. I can see plenty.
Certainly.
In any case.
More golden in color, but...
Mm-hmm. It's actually... I said it's about four times there. It's reminded me a little bit more of some of the better, and here's that graying and that smudging of the lines again, more of a pilsner than a lager.
Well, it's much breadier. It's got more of a breadier, fuller-bodied flavor than the Nine Locks.
Mm-hmm. I'm so used to those drinky, pissy, like really weedy, thin lagers. These are entirely different animals, and they're better. Yeah, it is. It's quite full-bodied. It's, what is it, 5? It's 5.5%. It's getting up there. It's just a meatier beer, isn't it? And they said it's more oomph. So, yeah, spot on.
Yeah.
And plenty of flavor.
Yeah, I feel like the description definitely got it quite correct.
I'm searching for notes of stuff, but it's not giving you anything on the website, is it?
No, no. So it's not very descriptive. Oomph?
Yeah. Are you getting? If you're trying to describe something with the flavor wise, I can't hang my coat on anything that is discernible. It's just like a pretty good lager, to be honest.
It's pretty good. I feel like there's a little bit of that uninvited, danky beer stank to it. Oh, I'm not...
You're not going to eat tomato soup end, are you?
I am
where things
not.
Right.
No. Okay. Oh, goodness. Okay. Now I've lost my good robot background. Nope, that's not what I'm looking for. What is this?
Where are you? I want.
I've suddenly gone to Minecraft.
I was thinking that was Minecrafty. Minecrafty. It sounded like a German. I'm not adding that to my sketch, my stand-up either.
To the Minecraften.
I like this. I'm enjoying this.
I think I prefer the Nine Logs.
Interesting.
Hmm.
That's why I left the finger at the end there, so I can go back to it. But I'm quite enjoying this. This is very crisp, to be honest. It's full bodied. But I can't select any kind of, you know, when you drink, let's say for instance, a hazy IPA. And we've drunk enough of them now. We definitely get fruit And oh, there you are. You found
there it. There we go. I found good robot. I finally made my way there.
We can find things to say, yes, I taste that. Yes, I taste that.
Mm.
But from a yeasty or a breadiness, it's very difficult in lagers and pilsners to detect anything discernible. You know what I mean? That you can say, I detect that, because it just tastes like lager.
This was why I looked up the Canadian Beer Awards for American style lager and what you're supposed to detect. Are you ready for this? Fermentation characteristics. Fruity esters are usually absent. Check. But may be present at low levels. Diacetyl, acetaldehyde, and DMS should not be present.
Oh, I was going to say, I've got loads of that. I detect loads.
You're getting all the acetaldehyde?
The decimacicus was the thing I said I was... I actually thinking I there was some of that in there.
Yep.
But it's not. I was mistaken.
No, that's fair. I think they're both... upper middling levels, you know, 7.5 to 8s, but in slightly different reasons. I would lean towards the 9 locks because I feel like there's a little bit of a sour lager flavor in the Good Robot, but they are saying that it's like the regular boys, but with a bit more oomph. So they've made a 5.5 version of a 5.0 basic lager beer. And yeah, they did do it. It's got a tiny bit of an aftertaste that I don't like as much as the very crisp, dry 9 locks. And I feel like that little aftertaste thing would sour me after a while, and I couldn't drink a whole bunch of it. And so honestly, had I done the Century Challenge with the 5.5 Good Robot Lager, I think that would have made me feel ill. But...
yeah, I find the way to get around that latent aftertaste. You don't do this, but I grab a handful of peanuts each time, so at least I'm left with a nice peanut taste. It does have a tiny aftertaste. I agree with you. It hangs around more than the 9 locks does. I understand.
Now,
but I just think there's more flavor to it.
Yes, it has more body, and I like that. So I appreciate the fact that it's got more body, but I feel like the lighter body matches the dryness of the 9 locks in a really good way. Where normally I don't like lighter bodied beer, but even that, it's not like a light body. It's not like nothingness, but it's pretty light, and it matches the sessionability of it. Whereas the medium body of the Good Robot, it does match, you know, the percentage and what you're drinking, but I don't think it's quite as crushable because it's got a little bit more of mass, I guess. I don't know.
Crushable as well. You said the first one. Excuse me. I think crushability also, one element of that is its carbonation. I can't crush really carbonated beers. I just want to spend the whole evening. Look, I've already talked about pee, so I'll talk about farting. If you drink too much beer, I'm taking this right into the gutter. A crushable, sessionable beer cannot be gassy. In my mind,
it has to be said that in doing this show on a Wednesday night for the last however many years we've been doing this, Thursday mornings for me are an adventure in farting. I mean, I could write essays on what beer leads to what kind of fart and how your body kind of exists for the entirety of a Thursday morning. Even a Wednesday night, I go upstairs and it's just, yeah, it's... But...
each evening, the voyage into the unknown, that's what you're saying.
Oh, yes.
And stand by, everyone, on Thursday morning. I don't have that. We don't do that much. We have, you know, two and occasionally a three. So that's fine. If you were to go, I've in my younger days, in my formative days, Ross, An evening out, even before work at 5 o'clock in the morning, might consist of 9 pints and a game of darts. And then stand by. Everyone just be prepared for the next morning. But I don't do that anymore. So maybe 2 or 3, I'm okay with that. But yeah, if it's going to be a session ale, it's going to have to be a non-carbonated
just
one.
Calm down on the fizz. Sorry. Yeah, on the fizz.
But yeah, I don't mean overly carbonated.
Well, I was... Okay, so I'm going to reverse gears into homebrew, and I still have a couple of mine, but the stout that I did at first that I didn't ferment properly initially, so it ended up being a low alcohol and low fizz, low carbonated beer. So when I open it, there's almost nothing. I just got to... It just does nothing. No. And then I have to... You know, dump, shake it into the glass in order to get any kind of head on it. But the black IPA that I did, when I crack one of those, I get the satisfying air escape noise. And then it's pretty easy to get a good head on that one. I gave you a sip of that when you were here before we headed down to Science of Beer. I'm not sure if you even remember the occasion.
It was lovely. It was quite lovely. How many of those 1 liter bottles do you have left over? Just one or two?
Six.
Even.
Maybe.
Oh, you've done. Okay. You haven't quite. So maybe there might be half a one left over. You gave me a couple of sips off of that when we were standing there in the kitchen.
Yeah, but I think at some point, and I've reached out. Well, I reached out to Pat Murphy because I know he and Dan were brewing, and I wanted to have a homebrew night I've got a couple of bottles of whatever you gave me. It might be the brown. Unclear. But I'm
double over. Now that's working, that's actually right. It's funny now because it seems to flip-flop bottle to bottle. Sometimes I'll crack one open. I've still got maybe, I don't know, 10 of those, 10 or 12 of those left over. I'll crack one open and I'm like, oh my God, this is so good right now. It's so tasty. And it's like, you know, 4 or 5 months after I brewed it. And then the next one I'll have and I'll be like, this one's...
Oh really?
It's like it's slightly.
Oh,
yeah. I don't know whether there's a Goldilocks zone, but they all cover.
I'm so pleased with the black IPA. So what I want to do is I want to get you a bottle of black IPA for you to have one night, and I'll have some of yours that are here. But I want to talk to Dan and Patrick, and unfortunately, Patrick has found that he is chemically not compatible with beer anymore, and so they're kind of backing down on the whole thing. He's selling his kit, he's selling his gear. I think Dan might still brew, so I want to do we know any other home brewers is the question, and not like fancy ones like Ian Smith of Tapestry Beer Bar 833 Sackville Drive, not fancy home brewers. I mean, like, you know, nickel and dime. You know, carboy on the dining room table kind of crap, like you and I.
I'm quite scared. I've seen Pat very recently, but he made no mention of the fact that he was chemically incompatible with beer anymore. What is this? Is this a new development?
It's really, I'm not sure it's an allergy or something like that, but just sort of, no, he's not supposed to be drinking the beers anymore. And I will say... The pictures that I have seen, he is looking dapper as all get out. So I think it's done him wonders. Who knows? I mean, look at me. We're still drinking beer on a weekly basis, and I pretty much just look like old man Winter.
And you look like a 109-year-old man who's been drinking pints, supping pints his entire life. As do I.
It's embarrassing.
And I have been supping pints my whole life, so that would probably be the reason why.
But we don't have a problem with that. We're fine with it.
There we go.
Yep. I am going to compare these last two. I'm going to go back to a sip from the Nine Locks, and the last sip from the Nine Locks, and the last sip from the Good Robot, and then we can move on to the... Because I've read ahead, and the Propeller one is different.
Totally. All right, then. Did you just go back to the... Nine Locks.
Really love that Nine Locks. For a lager.
I tell you what, when I went back to it there, it's so distinctly different from the Good Robot. That it immediately then reminded me of a Mexican cerveza, mm. would you believe?
It tastes like a lower alcohol session ale, but it's still a 5.0. So I love the fact that it's not called a session lager, it's called an easy lager. So like, this is still just as alcohol percentaged as a Canadian beer, but we've, it's just, it's just a little crisper, a little drier.
I prefer it.
Really like it.
Now, after drinking the other one.
Okay.
I don't mean I prefer it to the other one.
I know.
I think it's better. I think it's better now after drinking the other one than I did beforehand. Interesting. So now, if I go back now to my good robot lager, is that, by definition, going to taste worse?
Honestly, it depends on what you're looking for.
No, this is quite very crisp, and it's got, it doesn't have any of that Demis Roussos, Demi Moore, that I thought.
I'm sorry, it doesn't taste like a Demi Moore thesaurus? What are we saying about this beer?
That thing that is said online that it didn't have in it.
Oh, the diacylethylethylethide.
Absolutely. The
Prometheus pteranodon, or cephalopod, yep, whatever. Oh, the Demi Moore thesaurus. I get it.
I like them both, Ross, actually. For lagers, I like them both.
They're quite good. I'm expecting fun and exciting things from this propeller, but for the light lagers, I have to give them, and honestly, I will say an 8.1 out of 10 for the Good Robot, and an 8.9 for the Jake's Landing. Sorry, not...
I love...
The Jakes.
I love the way you erroneously just called them light lagers, and I thought, yeah, these ain't light lagers.
Light color, because we've got a dark color one. We've got a... Sorry. Excuse me, friends.
There ain't nothing light about these. They're really quite full-bodied, especially the second one. And sessionable? If for an easy lager... I don't know, man.
I drank 8 cans and felt great. I was still chirping with Kier after 8 cans. I felt so easy. I'm going to recommend, I'll buy you a case of Jake's Easy Lager next time we do this, and I'll try something crazy. I don't know. I'll try the Dirty Blonde or the Tatamagush Cream Ale.
Well, it was you that put me in mind because of your etched glass of the James Reddy. They do 3 different strength beers, the James Reddy.
Do they? Niagara Falls, I thought.
Okay, are they? And I started buying cases of that, but it was the 6%. I think they do a 4, a 5, and a 6. Yeah, I think that rings a bell.
I'm totally wrong. James Reddy Brewing Company is a Canadian beer brand brewed at Moosehead Breweries in Toronto, Montreal, and St. John.
Okay. Well, whatever. I like all of them.
When we found it, because everyone was drinking Keith's or Moosehead or something else, and for a while, I found... Oh, have you ever had Tenpenny?
No, I have not.
It was delicious, and someone said, oh, that's old man beer. That's what my grandfather used to drink. And I think, I like it, because it tastes slightly better than Keith's. And then it went away, and they stopped selling it. And then James Reddy 5.5 was available, and I thought, I like this, because it's better than Keith's. So what's James Reddy 6.0?
Well, that's what... I was drinking the 5.5. That was the one that I was drinking the most of. But I did buy a case or two. I think it's green, the James Reddy 6, if I remember rightly.
And I think it's like black and red. It's like a Tom Clancy novel.
What's the green one, then? There's a blue one and a green one.
I think
forget.
The green one is 5.5. Hang on.
Oh, that might be the one that I drank.
Oh, blue and red. Sorry. Hang on. Don't worry. Oh, yeah. The listeners and the viewers are really digging all of this. Do you know what I was going to say? I was going to say I managed to sneak in one of the lines from the play that I was in tonight.
into tonight's podcast.
In, just a little while ago. Do you do that when you're right in the headspace of the lines? Do the lines come out in everyday conversation when you've got the you've got to keep them memorized in your head? Does it spill over?
Not that I've noticed, Ross. It might have subconsciously, but not that I've noticed.
Okay.
What was the line? I mean, would I have picked up on it? Was it
quite out of the character? It was not. It was, excuse me, friends, I'll shut up. But I tried to do it in my voice as well. This is my oldest man. I've been on the council for 39 years. Oh, excuse me, friends, I'll shut up, is the line.
Even hear you say that line, so so maybe I was talking.
I think I was being a little bit more subtle than I am just now.
Is it Black Bear time? Should we delve?
Yes. Oh, it definitely is. Buy online. I'm trying to subcategorize. What? Oh, that's the problem. I'm trying to subcategorize the NSLC so I can see what's available for loggers by the case. So that we just getting ahead to be able to plan our next century all right. night. Oh, the color of this. Oh, I'm so excited.
I know.
Oh my god. I'm sorry. Before I've poured this, but from Propeller Brewing, Propeller out of Halifax, Nova Scotia, we have the Black Bear Dark Lager, it says. On ye old can. We've had this for a little while. I think we had to get packs of six, does say on the side. Pouring jet black with a tan head reminiscent of the black bear's majestic coat. Fine. This easy drinking lager offers enticing notes of milk chocolate and a hint of coffee from meticulously selected roasted malts. It finishes crisp and clean, making every sip as refreshing as a cool mountain stream. So, as soon as it said hints of chocolate and coffee, I thought, we cannot compare this to the other two. This is its own unique, crazy, crazy monster.
Yeah, to me, this is when you showed a picture there of three of these oral lagers earlier on, I thought this is like comparing, the classic apples with oranges. Dark lagers are an entirely different species, are they not? No light lager, no classic golden lager has notes of chocolate and coffee in it. So it's not fair. And you know that you and I are going to say, well, this pisses all over the other two for the flavor profile alone. But it's
hopefully
an entirely different species. Oh, no, it does. It's just smell it, for God's sake. Get your laughing gear around it after you get your nose in it. I mean, goodness sake. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
They're lagers. They are chalk and cheese. Two entirely different animals. So it's a bit unfair to be comparing a straw golden lager with a dark lager, especially this one, because this is really good. And I haven't even supped it yet.
I'm excited. Because we have had some Schwarzbiers. That's the German word for the dark lager. I've got my propeller. Here is my propeller glass that it fits in. Oh, that smells really good. So, and the dark cream ale from Hell Bay, but that's a dark cream ale. Maybe a little bit different from a dark lager. But the Schwarzbier is a German dark lager, but they didn't call this one a Schwarzbier. So I'm curious, is this its own funny, interesting thing? But holy cow, I'm so glad that we ended on this one. 5%? See how it goes? Ready? Jaws. Oh my.
See what I mean? See what I mean?
Oh my.
No, I know.
Notes of milk chocolate. Yes. Hint of coffee. Not an overpowering knock you over hint of coffee.
No.
Hint. No. And it's there.
Creamy. You know, I mean, one thing you don't describe lagers as is creamy. This is a velvety, smooth lager. And it just doesn't make any sense to me. This is like porter's aren't as smooth as this. It's weird. Lagers, I mean, how How can you, if someone put that in front of you without the can and said, here, have this lager, you would cart them off in a straitjacket. It's not a lager. But then, of course, the brewers would say, yeah, it is, because we brew it like a lager. So what black magic is this? This is, it's so, so good. Propeller have been doing this for 100 years now.
Mm-hmm. At least. They know what they're doing.
So, yep. And they've made a fabulous lager. Spoiler alert.
Who's Coldstream Clear? I'm trying to...
I don't know. In the liquor store.
They're a distillery, but they make a lager that you can get that you can get a 12 pack of in the NSLC. So who the pants are these guys? Now I feel like I'm totally missing out on everything. Locations, Dartmouth Crossing, Stewiacke, Antigonish, contact us.
Have you gone off on a tangent?
I have a little bit. It's one of the things that happened where you learned about the half... Well, I learned about the half-cocked brewery when told by Ian Smith of Tapestry Beer Bar, 833 Sackville Drive. And... I had not noticed that there was an additional brewery in Nova Scotia that I hadn't really, and especially one that's outside of HRM. Like, the HRM ones, I have a hard time keeping track of everything, but no, Half-Cocked has been sitting out there outside of Antigonish for quite some time. But they've got a beer in the LCs, and you have found it. Stewiacke, Coldstream Clear Distillery. They're a distillery, yeah, but they do a lager.
The half-cocked one, it was one can, and I messaged you straight away, didn't I? I say, have you seen this?
Yep.
And you hadn't, but it was not two. So I thought, okay, well, I'll get this one, and then I'll delve. Have I delved since? No. Even though I said, I'll look into it, and then about a minute later, you said... Have you looked into that yet? I know you were having a laugh with
me. Well, we
and
haven't.
Me, I was like, no, give me.
We
give
haven't.
Me a chance.
We haven't like, delved to friggin' Antigonish yet. So sorry, North Grant.
I know there are a good few still hanging around, and I'm going to make it my mission because I'm
biscuits.
Yeah, I will find a 5 minutes tomorrow to make a telephone call to the brewery themselves. If the liquor stores in Antigonish can't get a couple of cans, that's a different one. That's a different one. Two or four of these things sent down the road to us in the valley, then I will have to go to the brewery themselves and say, oi, can I order from your brewery? Because you put that in mind. I thought, oh, I didn't know you could do that. Who doesn't know they can? Maybe Amazon. Maybe Mr.
Not,
Bezos.
Certainly not all of them. Not all of them have that available to them. Sober Island. You can order things from Sober Island and get it delivered to you. Good Robot. They do deliveries as well. Sea Level. I can't remember if they do, but the Half-Cocked Brewing Company out of Antigonish or North Grant. They. So a lot of the ones outside of Halifax are small scale. We're. Okay, small scale type breweries. So yeah. it's a little difficult to get larger shipments and whatnots. In fact, when we were that was always my favorite. And when we were talking to the first couple of breweries, Stephen Heisler out of Big Spruce, he does the trips and he drives his little car and he drives all over Nova Scotia and he drops off cases of beer to everybody. Sober Island put theirs in the frickin' mail. I got a mailed box of beer from Sober Island, which was amazing. Tanner, when we talked to Danny Tanner, he has a guy, and they just met me in a parking lot in Windsor, and I felt like I was shipping drugs. It was so weird, but I loved it. I feel like we haven't talked enough about this Black Bear from Propeller. I'm so sad because I looked it up on Propeller's site, and you know what it says? Sold out.
What does that tell you?
It tells you that they're not making it anymore currently.
Okay. And it also tells you that it's blown off the show.
Is it not? Well, I think I think it was around for a bit.
I've not seen. Okay. Well, I bought that, like I told you, I bought that six pack because it was on special. Now that might, I don't know. I can't imagine they weren't selling enough of it and they're saying, this stuff is nice. It's not really working for us. Let's just sell it up. Put it at 15% off and get rid of it. I can't believe that.
The body and the head on this. No. You could tell me that this was a stout. We have had worse stouts than this.
Absolutely. I was likening it not as a stout, but certainly I was saying this is a really creamy porter was the way. Pours to me like a thicker porter. Not like a big old milk stout or an oatmeal stout, but more like a porter. And because it has those notes of chocolate and coffee that classically the porters do, but it's creamier, Ross. And I think, how can you do that with a lager?
How can you make a better porter out of a dark lager? This is good.
Doesn't it? And it's all gone. So they're saying. Yeah, there you go. NSLC is saying it's all.
We like it. It's delicious. You should get your hands on it, but you can't. if nothing else, I feel like that's what we say every single week. It's like, oh, this is great. You can't get this anymore. Try again.
If they decide that next, I don't know, when they're looking to put another batch on, or if they're not, if they decide that no, we're not going to bother with that again, I for one would be a little disappointed. Unless, of course, just make another dark lager, which takes up from where this one left off, and they said we really like that, but we're going to improve it by blah X Y Z. Mm. I'll be first in line to pick this up because this is, I don't know.
This is wonderful. And it's, what is it, a 5.0? Imagine drinking just a 5.0, easy drinking, but chocolatey, dark, malty. I mean, you can taste the malt. The body's all there. What I'm thinking, because the Revolution, Propeller brings back the Revolution in the wintertime, because... Everyone, because you only brew your dark beers in the wintertime because you're just a bunch of cowards. And in doing so, this might not be available until Halloween? Remembrance Day-ish?
Fair enough.
I hope that it would come back next season. So you can be cowardly for all of summer. And honestly, if you're going to be a bunch of cowards and not provide stouts and porters in the middle of summer... At least bring back Radlers. That was fun. I was fine with that. Radlers in the summer, stouts in the winter. We had a deal, brewing industry. We had a deal. And, well, at least we've learned to enjoy a good hazy IPA or a double and triple IPA. So we found something to satiate our needs.
I love the fact that you're calling Propeller, who at any one time seem to have about 30 different beers on the go. You're calling them cowards.
Yes.
And they're like, and we've been in this game long enough. And they do. And this is another one of their winners for me. So if they sold out of it, if they just did it on a whim and said, look, let's just give a black lager a go. Well, it got two thumbs way up from Siskel and Egbert here. So if they go and do something similar again next time round, I'm first in line. Please do. Whatever you call it. I don't care what you call it. Even if you just said, we won't even call that a lager anymore. We'll just sneak it into a porter can and call it a porter. I'll still drink it because it's really fucking good.
The ESB is available year round.
Yep.
There's a Nitro Irish Stout in their seasonals, and the Revolution Imperial Stout. So there's a couple of dark beers still in the seasonals. Everything else says sold out, sold out, sold out, sold out, sold out. What is not... Oh my god, can you just get rid of the sold out? Oh, Nanaimo Imperial Dessert Stout is sold out. Did you know that? And were you aware? Okay. And
that was my favorite beer of two winters ago.
I know, page after page of sold out. Stop... tantalizing me with what you don't have. And yeah, there's literally two or three beers on their seasonal page that are not sold out and about 18 that are. Yeah. You know, I'm going to hit the contact us button. That's it. I'm sick of this. Contact us.
I need to go to Propeller Brewery and just... I have done. I've been there a couple of times and picked up some things and maybe five or six things. But I want to go there again and see what the... I know this is, we're approaching summer. You wouldn't think so, but finally the weather is maybe starting to turn. But I know that they do all these patio summery ales. They tend to do five or six at a time, and we tried a bunch of them over the last year or so. I don't know if they sort of... Maybe if you go to their place... Even though the website says they're sold out of everything, they might just have the odd rogue dark beer floating around that they can throw in my direction. It would be nice. If they can find a six-pack of black beer stuck down the back of the sofa, I'll take it off them, and you and I can sit around one evening in the midsummer when it's like 38 degrees and sweaty as all hell, and we'll get tucked into that six pack between the two of us. Ross, I'm gonna have to head out. Marks wise,
oh, this
robot over 9 locks, those were more comparable. This one clearly isn't. This is to me, this Black Bear Lager,
it's all of
dark
it.
Lager.
Yeah.
Oh, it's wonderful though. It's a 9 out of 10 for a beer, let alone a dark, let alone a lager. If this was all they had for lagers, I'd give it a 10 out of 10. It's its own thing. A dark lager. It's a very new thing. I'm gonna give it 9/9.5. It's so delicious. What about you?
If I don't have any other dark beers, it's definitely, it's more smoky than sweet. And I feel like we've had a few sweet Schwarz beers. And I feel like it should be comparable to a German Schwarz beer, but definitely a 9 and up, 9.9293 for a dark.
Can I suggest then that if we find another dark lager from a different brewer in the meantime, and if Black Bear is made available again in the future, maybe we do get another one of these and just compare it to it, because this is the best black dark lager, to my mind, that I've tried.
Do you want to know how many plans for down the road we've got? We've got all these ideas. Oh, if this one comes available, we're going to definitely have this one again.
Yeah, but when they made Blade Runner in 1981-82, they didn't foresee that 2049. No, yes, they didn't realize that in another 40 odd years they'd be making a sequel to it, set in 30 years previous to that. If they do make another dark one, and we're still around in 30 years' time, you and me, and we've done the 100-shot challenge 33 times. I don't quite know where I'm going with this. In my mind, it's. I'll work it out, and I'll get back to you on it. I'll get back to you. Short and tall, if there's another dark lager available, I want to match this one with it, but this one isn't available anymore.
No, it's not. And neither is the one Nine Lot. No, I'm sorry. North Brewing, I think, had a dark lager. You didn't like that one. You gave it a 6 out of 10. And then there was also one from Tatamagush, the Cero Czech dark lager. You gave that a 9 out of 10. This was years ago. That's May of 2022. So 3 years ago. Okay. Anywho, we occasionally have come across them.
We do,
but this is definitely a good one. I'm gonna stick to my 9.1. No, wait, what did I say? 9.293.
I think you're right though. In the end, I was worried that maybe you shouldn't be looking at the black bear this evening. But if they come along so infrequently that we're looking back to May 2022, if we had to wait, if we waited for another dark lager to come along, we may have been in the year 2049, like Blade Runner.
Nope. We'll get there.
So I think it's a good idea that you looked at this lager this evening at the end of it. So at least you drunk it, and you're not disappointed, are you?
I am not. No, I'm very happy to include that. And I think I snuck, because it was only in 4-pack, so I snuck a couple of those ahead of time.
Right.
And did enjoy them, but I was happy to put them on the docket.
Right. As regarding the traditional golden lagers, I like them both for different reasons. So and I'll tell you what, the Nine Locks one came in really well after I'd drunk the Good Robot Lager. Can I give them both an 8 out of 10 for lagers?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, really.
What did I say? I think I said 8.1 and 8.3. 8.1 for the Good Robot and 8.3 for the Jakes. I really like them.
So do I. I've got a little finger of this left and I'm out of here. Cheers, man.
Take it easy. If you're still hanging out, thanks for sticking with us tonight as we made it through a slightly late night, but again, some pretty good lagers. Do get in, try everything. Thanks to Good Robot and Nine Locks and Propeller for making these beers. Thanks to Ian for being here with me tonight. We're here every Wednesday at 8 p.m. usually. Different time tonight. But 8 p.m. On our YouTube page, youtube.com/@drinknsdry. You can find all of the archives and whatnot, and I also post some videos there as well. But you can also find us on the old TikTok and YouTube shorts and Instagram when I post the shorter down, you know, the watered down 15-second versions for all those of you with the attention span of a mosquito. But if you want to go to the source, you can go to drinkns.unsupervised.beer and find the podcast, all the podcasty places, including YouTube, I think. I'm just kind of assuming that all of this stuff works, but regardless, I want to thank everyone for popping by tonight and have a lovely week, and we'll see you next time. Good night.